From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The investigative news outlet ProPublica has obtained a disturbing audio from inside a U.S. Customs and Border Protection detention facility that shows children screaming for their parents. The audio was obtained by an anonymous source was distraught at the sight of the 10 Central American children who had just been separated from their parents by border agents. All of the children heard in the audio calling for their parents are between the ages of 4 and 10. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was confronted with the sounds of the children wailing at a press conference on Monday, but she decided to double down on the Trump administration's false assertion that the government was simply enforcing existing law. Texas is ground zero for the family separation scandal. A former Walmart site turned holding facility in Brownsville, Texas, is apparently detaining about 1,400 people, and photos from the inside have been making the rounds on social media. And in Donna, Texas, the government is building a tent city to house the anticipated increase in child detainees. A third Texas site is the Border Patrol detention facility in McAllen, Texas, which was briefly opened to press over the weekend, and from which officials released to the public a video on Sunday. My guest reported in The Nation magazine from that facility. Zoe Carpenter is the Nation's associate Washington editor. She's worked previously for Rolling Stone, has appeared on MSNBC, CNN, and other media outlets. She joins me to discuss her new piece in The Nation. It's called What It's Like Inside a Border Patrol Facility Where Families Are Being Separated. Welcome to the program, Zoe.
Thanks for having me.
So first, tell us exactly what is this facility, and how you were able to report from there.
Sure. So the McAllen Border Processing or Border Patrol Processing Facility is commonly called Ursula because it's on Ursula Street. And this facility is in the Rio Grande Valley, very close to the border. And it's really the epicenter of these family separations because it's one of the first places that people who are apprehended by a border patrol after they've crossed the border go to be processed. And that's actually the location where some of these separations are physically occurring, is at this particular facility. And I gained access because the Border Patrol allowed a small group of reporters to go in on Sunday and have a brief tour of the facility. So I was part of that group. And I think it's worth noting that it was very much a shepherded tour. We were given a limited amount of time, and we weren't allowed to interview people inside of the detention facility.
So this is a huge facility. You write that it's 77,000 square feet. This is not a new facility, right? I mean, this has essentially been part of the place, one of the places where immigrants are first processed when they are caught crossing the border in Texas?
That's right. Yeah, this is a large facility. It's been in use for many, many years. It's not the conditions inside this facility are not new, except for the fact that my impression from talking to the Border Patrol agents who were there is that things have gotten more crowded and more chaotic because of the Trump administration's new policy of criminally charging as many people as they can with illegal entry when they come across the border. And so that has created a whole series of new procedures. It's clogging up the federal court system. And of course, then it creates these family separations that we're seeing.
So what was your impression? You walked inside the facility with a small group of other reporters. The video that the government released shows these chain link fence cages. There have been some, you know, defenders of these policies saying, well, those aren't cages, but they are cages. What was your sense walking in there? It seems as though it was basically a prison.
Yeah, I mean, at the detention facility, the point of the facility is to confine people. And so regardless of what words you use, that is what's happening there. And that particular facility is sometimes known by people who've been detained there as the dog kennel. And I think that that's a loaded term, but I think actually that's a pretty accurate metaphor for what it feels like to walk inside, because you walk into this enormous warehouse-like space, which is divided into two main areas. And within those areas, there are these chain link fences that essentially create these kennels or cages or pens. And so there is this sort of feeling of, you know, human beings combined in a way that is quite dehumanizing because there are so many of them. The facility is clean, and it seemed orderly. In some ways, actually, it was quite creepy how quiet it was. There's this sense of waiting and anticipation because people don't know what's going to happen to them after they leave this facility. I was just going to say, for the children that are in there, you know, we hear from the Border Patrol and from other agencies that they have their basic needs met and they're well taken care of. And it is true that the basic needs are met, which is food and access to bathrooms and clothing and things of that nature. But there's nothing for the kids to do there. They're essentially just in this pen with some cushions and blankets, and there are no books or toys or anything of that nature.
So in this particular facility in McAllen, Texas, one of several facilities that have become, you know, flashpoints in this family separation scandal, I understand that it's a combination of individual adults, but also children who've been separated from their parents. And then are there also families, so parents with children?
Yes. So as you say, there are areas for adults who are held alone, and they're segregated by gender. And then there are sections for female head of households and male head of households, as the Border Patrol refers to them. So that would be women with their children and men with their children. And then there's a whole separate area for unaccompanied children, and that's also gender separated. And those unaccompanied children, that includes both children who cross the border alone without their parents, and children who've been separated from their parents within the United States since they've been in the custody of Border Patrol.
I want to play for you and our audience some of the audio obtained by ProPublica from a Border Patrol facility where 10 children between the ages of 4 and 10 were crying for their parents. And a warning to our audience, this extremely disturbing audio. If like me, you are sensitive to, or if like most human beings, you're sensitive to the sounds of children crying for their parents, you might want to brace yourself.
No llores. Vas a llegar con. Mira, ella te va a explicar y te va a ayudar. ¿Cierto, consulado?
Te va a pasar con su consulado.
El papá. Papá.
Yo
con mi tía, por lo menos, para que después llegue. Mi mami.
¿Me puedes abrir la puerta? Alguien cerró la puerta de
eso.
And that is part of the audio obtained by ProPublica, the investigative media outlet. It was handed to them through a lawyer who obtained it from an anonymous person from a Border Patrol facility. There was the voice of a six-year-old Salvadoran girl who was repeatedly calling to speak with her aunt. And part of the audio also includes one of the Border Patrol agents joking, well, we have an orchestra here. What's missing is a conductor, literally making a joke about children wailing for their parents from whom they have been ripped away. And I'm wondering, Zoe, I don't know if this is from that same facility that you toured, as far as I can tell. This, you know, it's not, they haven't, ProPublica didn't say exactly which facility this was from, but what's the impact that this particular audio has had on the whole conversation?
I think the audio has had a very strong impact, because until you really see or hear what's happening, it's hard to feel viscerally the human impact of this policy. And I think that was one of the really striking things to me about being down there, is you walk into this facility and suddenly these human beings who have various stories, who may be fleeing horrible violence at home, who may have traveled for a very long time to get there, and they're essentially being fed into this bureaucratic machine. The adults go to ICE custody eventually, and the children go to HHS custody, and they get separated within this bureaucracy, and that's really not set up to respond to the needs of individual human beings. And so it's very dehumanizing, and I think hearing an audio clip like that reminds us that these are very young and very vulnerable children who are being severely traumatized by these experiences. And pediatricians have spoken up. This may have extreme lasting damage on many of these children.
And it's amazing. Some have pointed out that there are people in this country who are far more offended by the images of Black athletes kneeling for the anthem than they are by the sounds of children wailing for their parents that our government has chosen to rip out of the arms of their parents. So this video, the audio from this from ProPublica was played on Monday at a press conference, where Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was taking questions. And I'm wondering if you saw that press conference. She basically, you know, denied knowing much about it and was able to, was simply kind of deflected from the sounds, deflected from the questions from reporters saying, isn't this child abuse? Do we want to be known as a country where children are locked up in cages? It's remarkable to me, Zoe, that the administration continues to justify this and are essentially lying that it's that they're simply enforcing the law. There is no law, right, that requires separating families?
That's correct. And there isn't even any law that says that the government has to criminally prosecute the parents coming across. I mean, let's just break this down a little bit. The reason the families are being separated is because the administration has a new goal of criminally prosecuting 100% of the people coming across the border without authorization, with illegal entry, which is a misdemeanor crime. And in
it is not a felony, it's a misdemeanor crime. It is not, so misdemeanor crime is not one, you know, it's like getting, not paying your parking ticket, right? The government does not have to arrest you and prosecute you for a misdemeanor like this, but it's choosing to do so.
Right, and according to some figures that MSNBC's Chris Hayes has, 90% of the people are getting this misdemeanor. And so we're having people having their children removed from them because of a misdemeanor. And that's really alarming. You know, the administration is trying to say, oh, we don't have a policy of family separation. It's just a outcome of these criminal prosecutions. Well, call it what you want. The end effect is that you have thousands of children, over 2,000 that we know of, that have been separated from their parents. And more alarmingly, perhaps, is that there's really no process in place that the government has been able to outline specifically for reuniting these children with their parents.
I want to play for you and our audience a video of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen responding to members of the press. I think it's really worth seeing her attitude to this particular issue. It's quite stunning. This is the Secretary Nielsen.
This administration did not create a policy of separating families at the border. We have a statutory responsibility that we take seriously to protect alien children from human smuggling, trafficking, and other criminal actions while enforcing our immigration laws. We have a long existing policy multiple administrations have followed that outline when we may take action to protect children. We will separate those who claim to be a parent and child if we cannot determine a familiar or custodial relationship exists. For example, if there's no documentation to confirm the claimed relationship between an adult and a child. We do so if the parent is a national security, public, or safety risk, including when there are criminal charges at issue, and it may not be appropriate to maintain the family in detention together. We take allegations of mistreatment seriously, and I want to stress this point. We investigate. We hold those accountable when and if it should occur. We have some of the highest detention standards in the country. Claiming these children and their parents are treated inhumanely is not true and completely disrespects the hardworking men and women at the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Parents who entered illegally are, by definition, criminals. Illegal entry is a crime as determined by Congress. By entering our country illegally, often in dangerous circumstances, illegal immigrants have put their children at risk. Fourth, CBP and ICE officers are properly trained to care for minors in their custody. DHS and HHS treats all individuals in its custody with dignity and respect and complies with all laws and policy. We have a duty to protect the American people, and it's one that I take very seriously. Here is the bottom line. DHS is no longer ignoring the law. We are enforcing the laws as they exist on the books. As long as illegal entry remains a criminal offense, DHS will not look the other way. DHS will faithfully execute the laws enacted by Congress.
And that is Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen speaking to members of the press on Monday. So many things that she said there I want to bring up with you briefly, Zoe. One of the things, she used the term protecting children several times. She talked in terms of protecting children, saying that the U.S. had a statutory responsibility. She invoked this idea of human smuggling, which is what Attorney General Jeff Sessions had said. So it's interesting because when you hear that logic, is the U.S. basically saying that they're trying to protect children from human trafficking? In the same press conference, she then said this is about a crime that's being committed. So which is it? I mean, they can't have it both ways.
Right, that's a good question. I don't see a way to reconcile those two things. Look, we know that most of these children are not being taken from human trafficking, although it's true that that does sometimes happen. What you have here are parents who are coming and in many cases are trying to, at least in some cases, are trying to seek asylum, but are being turned away at legal ports of entry, according to numerous reports that we've heard. And then they're having their children taken. And the medical profession is very clear that this is not in the best interest of children. If you wanted to protect them, if you wanted to ensure their well-being, you would keep them with their parents. There's no one who's saying that it's a good thing for children to be removed from their parents.
Except Kirstjen Nielsen.
Right. It's just amazing to hear the various ways that the administration is trying to spin this. First, this policy was, you know, biblically sanctioned, and then we didn't have a policy at all, and then it was the Democrats' fault that we had this policy. So it's really not clear what their final answer is going to be as to whose fault this policy is.
Secretary Nielsen also said, we will separate those who claim to be a parent or a child if there's no documentation. I mean, it's possible some parents might be traveling with birth certificates for their children, but probably not. And if they're not, then that's basically sanctioning the U.S. government to take their children away from them. But of course, the officials have repeatedly said that they don't have a policy to separate, but she essentially admitted they do if there's no documentation to show the relationship between the two. I mean, she also said that parents who are entering illegally are by definition criminal and putting their own children at risk. So are they punishing the parents for risking the children? And then, of course, that's the risk to the child's mental health from being separated from their parents is not being entered into the equation. So I just kept getting the sense that she wants the country to believe that this is all being done for the good of these little children.
Right. I mean, that's, of course, a great talking point. And the other thing you'll hear from them is, oh, these facilities are, you know, they have everything they need. And it seems to be true that those basic needs are being met. But I mean, at the end of the day, there is no credible medical professional, no credible child development specialist who will tell you that it is in the child's best interest to be removed from their parents if there isn't, you know, serious abuse being taking place in that relationship. And I think we have to remember that these kids are leaving situations that are incredibly unsafe in places like Guatemala and Honduras. And so the parents have made a calculated decision that it is in the child's best interest to try to take them to the U.S. And even though that is a dangerous process, that there is more danger back in their countries. So I think it's willfully ignorant of Trump administration officials to pretend that there is no reason for these people to be coming to the United States.
Zoe, do we know where else children are separated from their families or being held? The McAllen facility that you toured is one place that the government is sort of showcasing. I mean, it's kind of shocking that the video that was released and the fact that you were able to go in means that the government wants the public to be able to see this. But where else are they holding children? Because we know that there are more than 10,000 children right now in government custody, 2,000 of whom were taken in the last 6 weeks alone. And presumably that number is going to just keep growing. So where are they being held?
That's a good question. So just to clarify, I think it's helpful to understand that the McAllen facility where I was is an initial processing facility, and children are not supposed to be there for any longer than 72 hours.
So they're being fed through there to other facilities.
Exactly. And that's sort of the point where the children get transferred into custody of the Office of Refugee Resettlement within HHS, and they're sent from there to various shelters, is the term that the government uses, which are generally run by nonprofit contractors, such as the Brownsville shelter, Casa Padre, which is where Senator Jeff Merkley tried to gain access to, and then where he did actually gain access with another group of Democratic lawmakers on Sunday. And I was outside that facility when they came out and spoke with them about what they'd seen there. Those facilities are generally licensed by the state. And the Democratic lawmakers were very clear in pointing out that the professionals working there are doing what they can to care for the children, but the situation is just that there's only so much care you can provide. You can't paper over the lasting trauma of being separated from your parents. And I think the other concern that they had is even the members of Congress weren't being told where all of those facilities are. So in particular, there's been a lot of concern about where the girls are being held and where the very young children who've been separated from their parents are. And as of Sunday, the Democratic members of Congress who'd asked for that information had not been given it. And we heard that from Secretary Nielsen too, when she was asked repeatedly, where are the girls, where are the very young children, she wouldn't say. So it's we've been told that they're in similar shelters, but we don't have transparency in terms of what companies are dealing with them and where they are being held.
We also know that under the Obama administration, in places where families were being detained, there were many allegations about sexual harassment and abuse and assault facing undocumented girls and women. I want to just touch on what you said about the nonprofit organizations that run some of these facilities. That particular facility in Brownsville, Texas, where Senator Jeff Merkley tried to enter, called Casa Padre. How is it that a nonprofit organization, so this is basically a private institution with nonprofit status, doing the dirty work of the government? It's just, I mean, we know about private prisons, we know about state prisons, federal prisons, but nonprofit detention centers, that's, I didn't realize that we had those.
Yeah, and there are definitely lots of very legitimate concerns with the use of private contractors. And that goes back to Bush and Obama. This is not just this administration allowing certain companies to profit off of detention. I do think it's important to point out that some of these nonprofit children's shelters were initially set up and they expanded partly because of unaccompanied children coming across the border. So these are mostly teenagers who cross the border without adult relatives. And so there was a need to figure out how to connect them with relatives or other sponsors, as they call them, in the United States. And so many of the children, in particular the company that runs Casa Padre, which is called Southwest Key, they say about 90% of the children in those shelters were unaccompanied children. They weren't separated from their parents. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. However, we do have new concerns with these tent facilities that are being set up elsewhere in Texas. One that you mentioned near the top of the program, which could house up to 4,000 teenage boys. That's on federal property, so it won't be subjected to the same kind of licensing requirements from the state of Texas.
And that's in Donna, Texas, that one particular facility. It could be one of many.
Yep, that's true.
Are those facilities already being populated? Are they starting to house people there yet? Children, I should say?
My understanding from some reports is that there are already some children there. That was not the part of Texas I was in, so I haven't independently confirmed that information. I do think one of the concerns that we're seeing across all facilities is that some of these children who have been separated from their parents, most of them are being sort of reclassified as unaccompanied children, as if they'd crossed the border on their own. And so then you have this whole other logistical nightmare in terms of how these children are going to be reunited with their parents in detention.
And some of them may never be reunited. Finally, I want to just ask you, Zoe, about the issue of asylum, which the administration has sort of tried to separate from people who cross the border, and they, you know, treat them as illegal. The administration has tried to make a distinction between people applying for asylum and the people that they're locking up, saying that if you are applying for asylum, that is coming to the official initial checkpoints where asylees are accepted, then we don't separate you. But how are people who want to claim asylum, how are they to know which are the official facilities? And how is the Trump administration essentially moving to prevent anybody from ever entering the United States seeking asylum?
Over the past year, we've heard increasing reports about people who show up at legal ports of entry. So that would be things like a bridge, an official border crossing over the Rio Grande River, like the Hidalgo Port of Entry, which I also visited on Sunday. And they have to actually cross the bridge and get onto U.S. soil and into the building to ask for asylum. But the reports that we've been hearing increasingly are that Border Patrol guards will stop people on the bridge and say, you can't keep going, you have to turn around. Or there have been some reports of Mexican authorities being enlisted to turn people around on the Mexican side of the border. And there was a woman in a detention center outside of Brownsville that the Democratic senators and members of Congress were able to speak with on Sunday. And they recounted this conversation to me. She was a woman who crossed and at a legal port of entry and presented her case for asylum. But instead of being put into the asylum process, she was criminally prosecuted for illegal entry and her three-year-old child was taken away from her. So it's a classic catch-22 situation where the administration says, do it legally, but then it appears that they're preventing some people from actually doing it legally.
Hmm. Well, you and I are speaking on Tuesday when the Trump administration, the White House essentially is apparently set to huddle with the GOP on the fact that this family separation issue is rightly provoking mass anger across the country, actually among lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. So we'll certainly continue to follow this story. Zoe, we link to your piece in The Nation magazine from our website. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Well, thanks for taking an interest in this subject.
Zoe Carpenter has been my guest. She's The Nation magazine's associate Washington editor. She has worked previously for Rolling Stone, has appeared on MSNBC, CNN, and other media outlets. And we've been discussing her new piece in The Nation called What It's Like Inside a Border Patrol Facility Where Families Are Being Separated. Zoe was one of the small group of reporters allowed into the Border Patrol facility in McAllen, Texas over the weekend. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. Thank you, Zoe. Really appreciate it.